Hello and welcome back to the Pinstripe Podcast. Scotty, big week for you this week. How'd it go?
Everything went really well.
So, Scotty turned 17 on Tuesday, which meant that he got his driver's license. Homeboy passed that ish and can now drive all by himself. Has a nice little license and everything. What's it feel like?
I thought driving alone would feel different, but it really doesn't, because I don't think our parents don't really talk all that much while you're driving.
Emotionally, it really hit me that you are no longer 7 years old. Really blows my mind that you are now driving in a car by yourself, but it be like that. But this also means that I can now drive with, it can just be the two of us in a car with you behind the wheel.
Yep.
Cool. Glad you had a lot to say about that.
Yeah, yes. You were the only one that couldn't do that before.
Yeah, and I felt like I was missing out. But it was just really all good things came out of this week. We had a beautiful Yankee week. We have a wonderful Yankee week going. So let's dive right on into it. So it started with last Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We swept the Orioles, and it really showed the team that we've been missing last week when we were just not doing too good. The offense really seemed to click. It was just no bad things. I haven't seen many bad things from the team. I have a few things to note on a little bit later in the week, but that Orioles sweep, I think, was exactly the boost that we all needed.
It's funny, I had a few things, but they were like, I was like, they're kind of negative. And then seeing how they play, I'm like, I don't really know how important they all are. Especially, I just want to say this one. Mm-hmm. I had the one note of, I think it was in the Orioles game. It was bases loaded with one out, and Higgy pops out to the catcher. I go, oh, you can't do that. And
then we're not allowed to say anything bad about Higgy. We'll get to him in a minute. But I agree. Like, of course, there are going to be little things and little occurrences that pop out. And I think on a week like last week, they were much easier to see and complain about. But coming off of games where we're scoring 20 runs, 13 runs, you know, it's hard to complain about those little things. Also, I just realized, you know, with the Dodgers entering, you know, officially qualifying for the playoffs, it really blows my mind that they're less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
They're right. That's crazy. Corner. That blows my mind.
It's still a huge fight.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. We're making a really nice playoff push right now. And officially, as of today, we have zero people on the 10-day IL. Let's knock on wood real quick. But along with that, it did confuse me in the Orioles series that Glaber didn't play. I think he played one game maybe, but he gave him a day off on the 13th. When we had our off day on the 14th, and I think he came off the IL on the 12th, something like that. And that kind of confused me, because then he ended up coming to pinch hit and win the game, whatever. But it did kind of just like stick out in my head, like, why didn't he just play that day? He has a rest day the next day anyway. But again, we're not here to complain. We're happy.
It worked.
It worked out.
Go Torres.
So, yeah, we have Glasses Torres, who, thank you, sir. Whatever you're doing with those glasses, keep them on. Giancarlo Stanton and Gio Urshela came back on the 15th. And, you know, people may think that that was their turnaround, but I really think that the Orioles series was the turnaround. Of course, them coming back definitely helped. But Stanton looked a little bit off. Did you see him the other night?
Yeah. I mean, watched it last night.
It could just be, you know, coming off the IL. I'm sure he got at bats, but it is something. It's just something to notice. Something to remember. But I have faith in him figuring it out. That was the first Blue Jays game, and Mr. Devi Garcia. I don't think.
I want to say this. Now I feel like we have found our three starters that we are consistent with.
Yep. So he went 7 innings pitched, 6 hits, 3 earned runs, 2 walks, 6 Ks. And I already have my answer for this, and I feel like you probably do too. You would pitch him in the playoffs, right?
Oh, you have to. He has to be in the lineup now.
100%. I don't think there should be a question there.
Like, this is – is he, what, 3-0? Maybe.
No, I think he has one loss because, remember, they send him down to taxi.
Good point, yeah. But, like, he's come in here and has done insane. I mean, even in the point where we couldn't find a way to win a game, he was able to start bringing it back. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there should be any question of if he should or shouldn't be our number three starter. I think he's a great fill, and not even just a great fill. Like, he's not taking anybody's spot. I think he should be number three. That. Like, that's it. It was announced either yesterday or today, all the days start blending together, that James Paxton will not be returning this season. Do you think that is the end of him as a Yankee? I think this helped him not coming back off of the IL, I think, helps Garcia even more, not just his performance. I don't see how or when we're going to need James Paxton again. I think that we can, in the offseason, do better than re-signing James Paxton.
Yeah, he really wasn't too hot for us this year.
Yeah, his season last year was all right. This year, before the injury, I think it was a toss-up of who would you want on the mound less, him or J-Hap. Yeah. And I don't think, especially with the performance that Garcia has been putting on and the amount of pitchers that are coming into free agency or are available in the off season, I just don't think keeping James Paxton will be any sort of benefit. Another thing that I did want to kind of talk about, it's less, I guess, exactly particularly about the Yankees, but during Garcia's start, they were talking about Debbie Garcia and Pedro Martinez, and I thought that it was really interesting. They were talking about the influence that Pedro Martinez had on that generation of pitchers. You know, he called Garcia after his first start. He is giving him pointers, and like the amount of people that have like replicated him and tried to, you know, copy his style. Mm-hmm. It made me think, I don't know if it's just as a Yankee fan, but it made me think of the influence that Derek Jeter had over like my generation of infielders, because like, he has a whole throw named after him. Like, if a guy does a backhand leaping throw to first, they're like, oh, he did the Jeter throw. And I think it's really cool, especially now in this generation where you see like players' sons in the league, to also see that influence of like the different styles coming in. Do you agree?
Yeah. Styles is a big thing, because now that you said that, I mean, you can look all around the league. If you look at like, feel like 20 years ago in the league, 30 years ago in the league, everybody was pretty similar in their motion. Now Everybody is completely different with how they pitch. There's very little consistencies. Well, there's consistencies, but like everybody has their own kind of zing to their
own. Yeah, everyone's got their weird delivery or stance the plate. And I think it is really cool because like you just think of players and like the style that they do and people replicating them. Like obviously there's Derek Jeter in the infield. I can think of like Kevin Youkilis hitting with his like hand doing that stupid thing. Like I think it's really cool and kind of crazy how like the way people play baseball have become so recognized, and that now you can see their styles really being brought into the league, you know, with Devi's like real twisty kind of motion, how he like turns, I don't know how to explain it. He like turns his top half. And I know I heard people kind of being upset that Pedro Martinez, who, right, he was a long-term Red Sox, correct?
Yes, if I'm correct, like, he is.
They're like, oh, why is a Yankee talking? Why is a Yankee talking to him? Because he was one of the greatest pitchers, and I think we should let him talk to whoever the hell he wants to if he wants to get better.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, for real. I mean, he's going to talk to whoever he wants to talk to as the greatest influence. I mean, I don't care who the heck who they played for. If they're the best player, you're going to want to talk to them.
Exactly.
And then in the same way, I mean, I feel like at that point with like Pedro Martinez's side is like, you're not going to be like, I hate this 20-year-old Yankee.
Screw you. You played for the Yankees.
You played for the Yankees. I played against them 20 years ago.
You look up to me and you wear my number on your belt, but F you, you wear pinstripes. Like, it's not that deep, guys. It's really, really, really not. But I do think I am super excited with the way that Garcia has been performing and the faith that I have in him to continue to perform, that I want him to be our number three starter, especially in the playoffs for many, many years to come. I think he is a really strong talent. His curveball moves phenomenally. And I think the greatest thing is, I don't know if you had the volume on during the broadcast or whatever, at one point Garcia like gave up a hit, a walk, and then another hit, and like the bases were loaded or they scored a run or something. And instead of just the catcher going out to talk to him, I think Gary was catching that game, the whole infield came in, and the broadcast was really talking about how that was kind of an interesting thing to see. Because normally when a pitcher starts getting shaken up, you just see like just him and the catcher talk to see like maybe there's like a sequencing they want to change. But I think it's really cool to see how the whole team, I think the whole team obviously is very aware of how young this kid is. But I think they're also very aware of the talent that he has. And I really liked seeing them all kind of come together and be like, hey, you're still really good, right? Obviously, we don't know what they said, but I don't know. The energy on the team just felt a lot different this week, a lot more like united than last week's conundrum.
Yeah. I was going to go off on that with Devi. Like, you can see that this team knows his skills and how he can help the team. And so they are fully on board with doing what they can to make him feel included, to make him feel included, not get too down on himself, everything like that. Cause I mean, it's always going to be vulnerable for like a young player to sometimes they're probably going to get down on themselves because they don't have the experience of saying, hey, this is going to happen. Hey, every once in a while, like a guy's freaking a 290-pound guy is going to go and hit it 550 feet. You just got to keep pitching.
Unfortunately, that happens sometimes. But yeah, I was really happy with his performance this week. I think another thing before I move on to my next topic, did you follow the story of Aroldis Chapman and nature calling?
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about that. So, in case anybody, I don't know, maybe you don't watch the post-game press conferences. I don't know how you could possibly miss this. But Chapman was closing, I don't even know which game it was. They all start to blend. We've said this before, playing every single day, all of the games start to blend together. And I forgot to write it down because I knew I would just remember it.
Yeah, pretty difficult not to.
And Chapman was pitching, and then he was pitching very well. And then Boone went out to talk to him, which kind of surprised everybody.
He seemed uncomfortable.
Yeah, he seemed uncomfortable. Something did not seem right on the mound, but like he was still throwing fine. So you're just, as a Yankee fan, you immediately assume injury at this point. So in the post-game conference, people asked, I think Hoke is the one that asked, who's like, you went out and talked to Chapman, you know, what was going on? Which is a completely legitimate and fair question that I think gets asked at literally every single post-game conference.
Especially the Yankees. Like, you know, he kind of stumbled. It was clearly like he got tripped by somebody, but is he okay? Is he okay?
Kind of broken his leg.
He sneezed. I saw him sneeze. I don't know if that hurt his back or anything.
So he asked the question, and Boone kind of laughs and says, he's fine. And Hoke kind of presses a little bit more like, oh, like, was his arm sore? Or, like, was there just any sort of, like, uncomfortableness? And Boone says, you know, sometimes nature just calls. Sir, what? So now, of course, I don't think we're ever going to actually know what happened. He did get pulled. Some people think he may have had a little accident. I can't picture that in my head. Like, I don't want
Well, no, I don't know. But he hustled. He hustled when the inning was over.
Yeah, he nature was calling very, very, very quickly, which is interesting because if he had to relieve himself so bad, you would think Boone wouldn't waste time and go out.
Innings to do it? Oh,
he'd also have, yeah. But, like, listen, I mean, every time, this may be a little TMI, every time I step in the box, I immediately have to pee. I don't care if I went to the bathroom. I go to the bathroom right before the game starts every game. I lead off, I step in the box, I have to pee immediately. But
I get a similar thing, but I feel hungry.
Interesting. A lot easier to fix than having to pee. But I thought that was quite a funny occurrence to happen. So now let's talk about these last two nights against the Blue Jays. What? Did you have something?
Before you get to the positives of these last two nights,
Hit us with some negatives, kiddo.
Aaron Judge.
He played
last night. I'm pretty sure he went 0-for with at least 2 Ks.
Okay.
And now they pulled him out of the lineup already.
They did pull him out of the lineup. Which you're hoping they're just like, hey, idiot, remember what baseball is? Because it's really hard to hurt yourself when you strike out.
But I went and I was at Buffalo Wild Wings eating dinner with my friends, and the game was playing, and we look and we see he's 0-for-2, and we look at each other and we go, do you think it's a strikeout or a ground down? What's coming this time?
I hope that it's the same thing that I hope is going on with Stanton,
and
is just like that readjustment.
What happened with Sanchez, everything like that, just a little bit of a bump.
Yeah, it is cool to see the two of them struggling and Gio came back like there was no issue, but like that's a different story. And so here, the last two Blue Jays games have been pretty much exactly what the Yankees have needed. So first of all, we are the first team in history to play two games in a row and in both games hit 6 or more home runs.
Yes.
Yes.
That was the fact I was going to throw in. They're at 13 home runs in their last two games.
One of them I want to talk about really, really quick, just because I do not understand how he freaking did it. DJ LeMahieu hit a home run off of a 47-mile-an-hour pitch.
48.7.
Sir, how do you do that? Like a fun toss. it blows my mind. Luke Voit, after I believe the first abomination against the Blue Jays, I use that term in a positive sense, said that DJ LeMahieu is the best hitter that he's ever played with. His wording was a little confusing. He said the best hitter I've ever freaking played with. I don't know. It was really weird. It was an interesting phrasing, but he was pretty much saying he is the greatest person in the entire world. Yankees give him so much money that he never leaves the pinstripes. Basically. And then additionally, home run wise, we have our new major league leading 19 home runs by Mr. Luke Voit. I'm sorry. This is as of Thursday, right? So they play again tonight. He'll probably hit at least one. They play again tomorrow. He'll hit another one. And it's funny, the broadcast in yesterday's game, so there are already 4 hit, and they're saying, like, Luke Voit was stepping up to the plate. They were like, oh, there's been 4 hits, and he's probably thinking 4 home runs hit, and he's probably thinking, I haven't hit one yet. And then not that at-bat, but the next at-bat, he hit it.
I just would imagine going and being like a Mike Trout. Who's the other one in second?
There's a tie for
Sano. Is it Sano?
It's either Sano or Cruz. Yeah,
Cruz. I think it's Cruz. It's one of the two big hitters on the Twins. That's why I always kind of get him confused. But I think it's Cruz. Just imagine them going, being like tied for first, and then like going to sleep. Next day, you wake up and you're like, how the hell is he 5?
So I think it's interesting. Major League Baseball posted like who should be your NL MVP or your AL MVP, and they like put pictures with it, and Luke Voit wasn't on there. And I think that's ridiculous.
One thing that I didn't know, and I'm surprised about that, is DJ LeMahieu, I think he's second in the league for batting average.
Either My vote, and this is a completely unbiased opinion, totally. If the American League MVP doesn't go to either DJ LeMahieu or Luke Voit, there are some issues. And
maybe in the same league as like Mike Trout.
Okay, yeah, but maybe Luke Voit is a harder push. DJ, what is his batting average right now? What is LeMahieu's batting average?
I think like 340 something.
Let me look. Hold on. In 2020, his batting average is 373. That's unheard of.
And then there's what? I think number one is Tim Anderson, probably, I think, 380.
The two of, yeah, the two of them are one and two. I mean, I continuously say the Yankees should give him as much money as possible next year. I have complete faith in the Yankees giving him money. I would just feel so much better if they would just do it right now.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
the thing that I like, and I like to see, I should say,
mm-hmm.
is that last night DJ hit a leadoff home run.
Favorite thing in the world.
That's his fifth leadoff home run of the season. He has nine he has nine total home runs on the season.
It's insane.
More of his home runs have come off of a leadoff.
The man is amazing. Yesterday and the day before his game were just really, really, really exciting to watch. I think one cool thing about not last night's game, but so it was Tuesday night's game? Yes. Days of the week mean nothing as well. Tuesday night's game, the first game against the Blue Jays, it was just a cute little story. Anthony Kay comes in relief for the Blue Jays. There's no saving him at this point. I think we had 13 runs at the time that he came in. So he was just like there to get the rest of the outs. But he was a lifelong Yankee fan, and I could not imagine being a Yankee fan and then pitching in Yankee Stadium to the Yankees. Like, I think like this guy, he was saying that he was in the stands for like the 2015 ALCS or like some playoff series, and it would just be so wild. Like, right, you're standing on the mound and you like look up, I don't know, to like right field, and you're like, I sat there 2 years ago and now I am here pitching to Brett Gardner, who I've watched my entire life as I grow up because he's 700 years old.
39. He's 39.
I know.
He's so old.
So old.
I didn't realize that Aaron Hicks actually isn't that old. He's like 32.
Aaron Hicks, which I was getting to. Aaron Hicks, I didn't realize him, Garrett Cole, and Kyle Higashioka.
All the same age.
All grew up in the same town, or like the same area, played for the same recruiting team. And this is my transition. Anthony Kay, sorry, I didn't have much else to say about you. Garrett Cole pitched to Higgy when they were like 14.
And what, was it coming in at 97?
I don't want to know what it was coming in at. But let me grab the stats. So Garrett Cole's last three starts all had Kyle Higashioka behind the plate. 20 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 0.9 ERA, 9 hits, 5 walks, 27 strikeouts. If you ever put Gary Sanchez behind the plate with Garrett Cole again, and I respect, and Garrett Cole has said like he liked it, he likes how Gary calls the game. If you look at those numbers and ever put Gary back there ever again, get out of here. I don't know. I can't follow the logic of putting Gary back there and over Higgy when those are the numbers that are coming out of the two of them.
Honestly, I think it's funny. Now we're going to be seeing the Yankees spend money on 3 different catchers just for each pitcher that they have.
Javi Garcia's Eric Kratz, Garrett Cole's Higgy. Everybody else can, I guess, get Gary Sanchez.
I guess.
And I do think it is interesting. Obviously, it's really cool to see, like, you think more of Higgy and Cole, but also Hicks. Like, you have like that whole center line that all kind of grew up together. I think it's really cool, first of all, for them to all come from California and then meet again on the big stage in New York. That's super cool. But to see that Higgy and Garrett Cole just seem to really be on the same page about calling the game, And that is really, really exciting. One thing Scotty and I forgot to mention is that with Garrett Cole's win on Wednesday night, it was his 100th win. So congratulations to our ace, our guy, GC, to many more, many, many, many more. Also, three home runs from Higgy last night. The first Yankee to hit three home runs in the nine hole in the same game. The third Yankee catcher to hit three home runs in the same game.
Dang.
I love that man with my whole heart. And it's funny because earlier, when even just through the Orioles series, I was like, Higgy for starter? Now I have an argument. Higgy for starter. It's crazy. I do think another thing to bring up is Garrett Cole, even in Houston, kind of had an affinity for pitching to the backup catcher. I don't know if you saw this or not. He like only pitched to, I believe, Martin Maldonado was their backup catcher. Not sure if that's 100% right.
Sounds close.
But it sounds right, right?
The name sounds familiar, but I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know if it's the right Maldonado. I'm sure. I think it is. But I do think that it's really cool. And I think that Garrett Cole should pitch game one of the playoffs to Kyle Higashioka so that he will hit multiple home runs and Luke Voit will hit multiple home runs. Do you agree?
No.
No!
Garrett Cole has to be on his time. Oh, if it doesn't line up, he ain't pitching.
That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. That's fair. You made me nervous. And then you're going to be like, actually, I would like to J-Hap. Just keep it interesting, you know, toss an L in there. Do you have anything?
So, yeah, this was again about the Orioles series. And this was another negative thing. Kind of negative. So it was one of the games. It was the one with Torres pinch hit.
Yeah. But
it was a 1-1 game. Ottavino was pitching.
Yes.
He went, I think he got two outs quickly. Mm-hmm. Looked like his stuff was working because although he's not doing too hot this year, he still has freaking insane stuff. He just can't find the strike zone.
Yeah.
But he went and I think it's two outs. He had a 1-2 count, walked a guy. Next guy singled, they just took him out. So I don't know if that's a situation of they're like, hey, you know, they might be seeing you. It might be like they might just be on thin ice. It might be in the situation, but I felt like that was something that was a
they
bit
may
off.
Have,
kind of were really on ice with him.
I think this season they've kind of noticed. I don't want to say that he like snowballs, but it seems like once he loses like one or two batters right in a row, I think they're afraid of the snowball effect. Especially in that Orioles game because it was tied at that point, correct?
Yeah, it's 1-1.
Right, so I think they just wanted to avoid the snowball because it just would not have made us feel great. Another person off of the IL who I forgot to mention, of course, we got Stanton, Judge, Urshela, and Torres back, but we also got Mr. Lasagna. John, Lois Siga came back last night. He threw an inning. I think he got three outs, which is all that matters. And it's really nice to see everybody back, people in normal positions. Miguel Andujar, never in the infield again. Tyler Wade, I love you so much, but you can go back to just running the bases. Is he?
Or being their late DH or their late hitter.
So what's our starting lineup look like today?
You have it.
I'm going.
Oh, but anyways, so I got this note. They said it on the broadcast. This is also in the Orioles game. And I don't I feel like this really isn't that true when they said it. They said that Clint Frazier had 15 straight games in the four hole. Now it's the first time that it happened since 2007.
Yeah, you were saying that.
I feel like that's not right. But I mean,
but I also, they wouldn't publish a stat that's not true.
Exactly. I feel
and
like
that came from the Yankees, right?
That came from the Yankee broadcast. Yeah,
they've got interns. I can tell you because it's one of the internships that are offered at school. they run interns to find the stupidest stats in the world. So some sad little intern had to go and find, they were like, he's been batting four a lot. Can you figure out the last time someone did that for that long? And they're just like sitting there like aggressively Googling it or like looking in the history books.
Starlin Castro was the last person to do that.
I love Starlin Castro so much. I forgot he was a Yankee for a hot second. I miss him. Love him. All love. All right. So this is our starting lineup today against the Blue Jays. We've got Masahiro Tanaka on the bump. Hell yeah. We have DJ at second, Luke at first, Hicks in center, Giancarlo Stanton hitting cleanup as the DH, Gleyber Torres at short, Gio Urshela at third, Clint Frazier in right field, Gary Sanchez catching, and Mr. Brett Gardner in left. I can't wait for them to play Judge again so that Clint Frazier can play left and Brett Gardner can sit his ass on the bench. But I think right now, this is the offense that we always thought we were going to have. The crazy thing was last night was the perfect offense, I think. No, Tyler Wade hit last night, I think.
Yes, he did.
Right. So the only thing that would switch out in this order, right, is Brett Gardner would be swapped for Aaron Judge. Judge would probably hit two. Boyd hit three, right? Everybody would just move down a number. That would put Gary Sanchez as your nine hitter and Clint Frazier as your eight. That is a head-to-toe, scary-ass lineup. If we can have that whole lineup through the playoffs, I don't care who is on the mound. We should win. We should win. Unless it's a freaking Ray. Because we can't do that.
Yeah, that's why I was like, that's the thing, is now we're going against people. I hit the mic, but I don't know if you can hear that. But we're now going, if we play the Rays again, that's four people who've seen the Rays pitchers once this year.
Maybe that'll work out good. Maybe that's what we need.
That's the only issue, is that we're just having all constantly new batters seeing the Rays pitchers, so they're not getting used to their nasty stuff that they have.
Hopefully we just don't have to see the Rays all the way up to the World Series. You know, we'll probably play the freaking Dodgers or the Padres. And it'll be fine. We'll do great and we'll win. And that's just because that offense, right? That offense, and then going 1-2-3 with Gerrit Cole, Tanaka, and Devi Garcia. This is the team we wanted all year.
Yes.
And now, like, right, the beginning of the season was beautiful, wonderful, so exciting, so many wins. And then people started getting hurt, and we kind of lost that, like, feeling of, like, this is our year. And now I really feel it again. I've got great hopes. And
as you said, they got injuries. They kind of lost everything. And then, when I say this, Clint Frazier, DJ, Luke Voit, all just carried the team.
Stepped up.
They stepped up fully. Luke Voit was very good last year. He is insane this year. Mm-hmm. Like last year, you're like, he's just a big hitter. And now he's like,
yes, him. Right.
I could bet that most, like, if you weren't a fan of the Yankees, you probably didn't know much about Luke Voit last year.
Oh, no shot.
Like, I could probably 100%, if people saw the list at the beginning of the year of the home run leaders, they're like, who the hell is that guy?
They're like, I don't know who you are. And him, I'm so glad we have him. And Clint Frazier being named a starter. Boone said it the day that, like, it was announced that Aaron Judge was coming off the aisle the next day. He said that he is playing left field. It felt like I was being told that I was playing left field for the Yankees. I was so happy. He has not only shown a real growth and maturity off the field, on the field, he has become
the most productive.
Same,
yeah.
He has, like, his WAR, W-A-R, I don't know. I call it WAR. I don't know if it's actually supposed to be called WAR, is off the charts. He is just, they had like a collection of all of the home runs that the Yankees have hit in the last 2 days. His hands, and I've said this before, his hands are absolutely ridiculous. It's just, I don't have enough good things to say about him. I'm so glad. You know, obviously it's upsetting that Judge and Stanton and everybody had to go and get hurt, but I'm so glad that it gave him his opportunity to really step up and shine. Because listen, I did talk a lot about Mike Tauchman, right? I thought that he was going to be the guy that stepped up.
He did in situations, but not.
But not as much as Clint.
No.
And I am so freaking happy that he did as much as he's done.
Yeah, like honestly, not like, you know, shouldn't be happy like, oh, Judge got hurt and everything like that. But it turned out to be kind of a blessing in that case.
Yeah.
We've now found our possible, probably our left fielder easily.
Right. And I, honestly, I think the timing works out really, really great. Right. Brett Gardner hopefully is retiring after this year. Okay. Not just because I have this like whole vendetta against him, but simply because we have better talent. Like he retires. We have no need to go and search for a left fielder because we've got one right there.
Yeah.
And Clint Frazier can step in and then our outfield can be so nice. Cause when Hicks starts hitting, right. And he's been a little up and down this year.
But that's more consistent about him is he's normally pretty up and down.
And I think that he's a pretty consistent center fielder. Of course, this year, maybe they were pacing him a little bit after coming off of Tommy John. But, like, I don't know. I cannot get, and I don't think many Yankees fans can get the picture of him leaping to save the Twins game mm-hmm. out of their head, right? Mm-hmm. He makes the plays that we need him to make. And if he wants to go ahead and be our weakest link on the field, I'll be fine with it.
I'll be fine.
I can get over it than having like freaking Andujar in left field, right?
This is another thing that happened in the 1-1 game. It was really funny. I think it was Gardner in left. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was Gardner. I think it was Andujar in left. And then they went and they put Gardner in left field. And then they brought him in. They're like, yeah, you're up second. And then he's like, oh, I'm up second. And they're like, ah, nah, Torres is going to go in.
Like,
they literally showed him on the bench with his batting gloves on.
That's so funny. That's literally so funny.
That is sad.
But, yeah, I mean, I think there's something. If the Orioles win 2 and we win today, I think that leads to us only being 1.5 back from first place, which I'll take because I don't even think there's any benefit to being in first place this year.
No.
The playoff, it's super confusing. MLB posted it the other day, and it was just like a bunch of numbers. And I was just like, there is
everywhere. You get thrown.
I was like, there's just so much going on here. I cannot take it in. Just tell me that the Yankees are in it, and I'll be fine. Do you have anything else to say about the Yankees?
DJ, of course, hitting the 48 mile an hour.
Yeah, we touched.
What I always enjoy seeing is like I'll see a home run that they hit to right field, and I'll always judge it, and I'll be like, no, people can't say that's a Yankee home run.
Be out everywhere. Thank you. No, the ones that just like barely snake over, you're like, oh shit.
Yeah, you're like
the only other place that might be out is Fenway.
People are complaining about that. People will complain about that one. They'll be like, ah, it isn't a real home run.
Yeah, it's like if someone hits one like 480 to right field, and they're like, I wouldn't be out. Shut up. That would be out everywhere.
Yeah, I think it was hit. Whoever, somebody hit a home run to right, and it was like mid-second decker. I was like, yep, nope, that's a real home run.
So the night that Luke Voit and Aaron Hicks went back-to-back, right?
Has that happened twice? Did that happen just a few days ago? I don't know if it was.
Brother, all blending together. Yeah. All blending together. Luke's was like high, far gone, like looked like your traditional beautiful bomb of a hit. It was like 468, something absolutely ridiculous. And then Hicks hit like a line drive, like a high line drive, but like it was a line drive. And they were talking about, they're like, I can't believe that Voit's went so far. It was like one of the farthest one he's hit yet. And then Michael Kay was like, Aaron Hicks, it went farther. And it always blows my mind.
Didn't go up.
Yeah, it just went bing. It was really funny because they were talking about, they're like, Luke Voigt just has so much power and he's just like so strong. And then they're like, oh, little Aaron Hicks, he really just beamed it out there. Do you have anything else for the Yankees?
Not on the Yankees, no.
All right, all right. Time to go around the horn, Scotty. Take it away.
Well, let's start. I'm going to go fast later, but we're going to start with a big one. Alex Mills. His no-no. So Alex Mills is a pitcher for the Chicago Cubs. And just last week, he had a no-hitter for the Cubs.
Like
his third start.
I was going to say, did you read his whole story?
The whole thing, that was his third professional start, I think, yeah. Something like that. He was in college. He was a walk-on.
Yes.
At University of Tennessee, Martin. Not even University of Tennessee. University of Tennessee, Martin.
I'm pretty sure, when he was
talking. Which is another D1, but, he just walked on.
He was I was walking by practice, and then I went to the coach, and I was like, I can do that. And then he let me try out, which is so savage.
But, so that no-hitter is the most recent one since 2016. Of course, Jake Arrieta, who was a god pitcher the 2 years that he was over there, and I don't know what happened to him since. He did that, and this was the first time in history that both Chicago teams had a no-hitter in the same year. And, of course, it's a 60-game season.
That's sick. That's really cool. Weird baseball is my favorite thing. Hold on, just a quick thing that I want to – do you have anything else on Alex Mills?
Not on Alex Mills, no.
Josh Donaldson just got ejected for kicking dirt on home plate after hitting a home run.
Kicking dirt at home,
I guess
how intentional did you have to do that?
I guess it was sort of like the Savages blow up, right, when he kicked dirt on home plate. But, you just hit a home run. Why the fuck are you kicking home plate?
Yeah, that's it. It has to be pretty dang intentional to get kicked out because of it. Because,
it could be, a celebratory kick that, shuffles onto the plate.
Yeah.
That – interesting approach, umpire. Good try, Blue. Sorry, keep going. Just thought that was a weird thing.
But, basically, to go elsewhere around the league, we're going to go with the Dodgers. So, the Dodgers had a pitcher – started just a few days ago. Bruce Dahl Gratterall. He pitched 1 inning, 3 Ks. And
was it a perfect inning?
No, it was not. It was not a perfect inning. He got two men on. That was it.
Uh-huh.
But that's his first start. He seemed pretty good for the Dodgers. Well, I shouldn't say for the Dodgers because it's freaking for the Dodgers. They don't care. They're just like, screw you. We got Kershaw and Buehler. We don't. And May and Dustin May.
I just looked up to make sure I got his first name right. His ball moves so ridiculously. It is a blitz ball.
And he's so aggressive about when he pitches.
Is insane.
But I want to. I want.
Going about Gratterall.
He just pitched 1 inning. He seems like a pretty solid pitcher. Probably not for the Dodgers, though, because they don't
need he'll anybody. Be out of there real quick. He's just not up to par.
But in this game, I want you to guess how many pitchers they used.
How many pitchers the Dodgers used?
Dodgers used. They ended up winning.
And I feel like you're not going to tell me who started.
It was the game for Bruce Dahl Gratterall.
Oh, he started. He
started.
Oh, I thought he came in like relief and only threw 1 inning. I'm like, Scotty, that's pretty freaking normal. I don't know if it's going to be, super high or, just 2. I'm going to go with 5.
They used 8.
Shut the front door.
They used 8.
And were pitchers. They all pitchers or did they toss in a position player?
I'm pretty sure they were all pitchers.
That's crazy only
one,
talk.
Only one person went 2 innings. There was 1 earned run. They used 8 pitchers and let up 1 earned run.
I'm really trying to figure out their thought process here. It's super aggressive way of using the opener.
I mean, it's a great way to not hurt any arms. I mean, you barely get to warm up.
Yeah, but now those guys definitely can't pitch for at least 3 days.
Yeah.
And so, I guess you always keep the lineup off balance because no one's ever going to see some guy twice.
Five people had one strikeout. Only one person didn't have a strikeout. Everybody else did.
That's just,
as I said, Brusdahl had three. The person who did two innings had two, and then just one. It.
That's just flexing that you've got depth in the bullpen. Like, at that point, it was just like, we have nothing to do. Were they already in the playoffs at that point or no?
No, it was before.
Oh, interesting approach. So, you'd think they'd dick around once they already knew they were in.
Let's think. That's 23 pitches, 20 pitches, 43, 22, 28, 37. So, like, all, like, less than 40. Everybody pitched less than 40.
That's,
and they're just like.
An interesting approach. I wonder what inspired it.
You're probably, like, the third or fourth pitcher, and you get taken out after one inning. I'd be like, come on. They, like, see everybody else doing it. You're like, what?
He's like, what are we doing?
Yeah, that was an 8-1 win over the Astros.
Interesting. Oh, I love whenever the Dodgers beat the Astros, though.
When anybody beats the Astros.
Yeah, but the Dodgers beating them is just so much better. Did you see Joe Kelly in front of his mural?
Yes.
Iconic. I don't care if that man never plays baseball again. I hope he does. He's really great energy, but so funny.
But yeah, so I'm going to go through my streak now of all around the league, like the actual real stuff. I'm going to do it really quick because I have a lot. All right. Brewers had 19 runs. The ninth.
We haven't talked since the ninth?
We did it on Wednesday last week.
Oh, right.
So it might have been the ninth when we talked.
Right. Okay.
Brewers scored 19 runs. Braves scored 22, and then the next night scored 29. Adam Duvall had three dingers in that game.
And that is a club record and one run short of being tied with the MLB record, which is 30. Yes.
Blake Snell turned Alex Verdugo, made him turn with a strike.
I hate both of those men, and I don't know which one I hate more. Why would you bring both of them up in the same sentence?
Well, I was just thinking Verdugo that you just don't like, so I mean.
Yeah, but Blake Snell is no better.
Okay, good point. Charlie Blackmon, walk-off grand slam for the Rockies. Max Scherzer is now fifth on the list for most games with 10 or more strikeouts with 98.
I want 1/16th of his talent. Just in anything. It could be in, like, crocheting, but I had his ability. I don't care.
Albert Pujols ties Willie Mays, fifth on the all-time home runs list with 660.
Big moves. I don't know if he's going to come up above that, but I think he'll get out of the tie. I don't think he will tie or beat whoever is in fourth.
Yes. Trevor Bauer still showing up Cy Young reasons.
I have more. Did you see? No, because you're not on freaking Twitter.
No, I did not.
MLB and the commissioner came out with a new social media guidelines that the players have to follow. They're not allowed to put a link to the MLB website, tag MLB, use like an MLB official photo, or like tag the team without proper permission. And you know that he went and did all of those things without getting permission. And he said, what's the fine? Who do I make it out to? Bauer for commissioner and Bauer for Cy Young.
The big thing with Bauer, though, is that, like, he doesn't have to really worry about the pictures being from the MLB
The Watch Momentum.
Watch Momentum. They go and they have stuff on their own. As we brought up, we had a possible conference championship series. You know, we might see this of the Dodgers versus the Padres. We might be seeing that.
Insanity.
So that was very close, but of course, Dodgers just took it home.
Well, the Dodgers do really well until it's the playoffs, because then they just choke.
And then Kershaw pitches, and he can't pitch in the playoffs.
I just, like, could you imagine how, I think this is like their seventh or eighth year in a row clinching a playoff spot. There is no World Series title in those years. I would want to die.
Byron Buxton is, where the hell has he come from? But he's going off. He hit another inside the park home run.
He hit two home runs today.
Yes.
Yeah. Was that your fact?
Well, no. He just freaking come out of nowhere. He was a guy who was like 3 years ago, like, oh, wow, he's really fast. Now he's like, Byron Buxton is freaking carrying the Twins. And I was like,
okay, first of all, do not say he's carrying, not carrying the Twins.
Nobody's carrying the Twins. Nope, they're all kind of
carrying themselves until they play the Yankees. But yeah, he went, oh, you think I'm just fast? I also know how to swing a bat.
Boston might have found their next Chris Sale. Javi Baez is an insane base runner, just in the head, but it works every time.
That man with my entire life. He is someone that if they ever wore a Yankee uniform, I would cry on sight.
The man stole second base and then got home.
Okay, so I saw the play. They were two shit throws.
They were.
Absolutely horrendous.
They were.
But
just the idea of going, hey, under 30, you're like, all right. And you're like, he's still going.
Yeah, you're like, wait.
Why has he not stopped at third? Oh, God. Jojo Romero, a reliever for the Phillies, downed a Red Bull and crushed it on his forearm.
Fucking yes!
Right as he was walking out of the bullpen, he finishes one, crushes it on his forearm, and walks.
The bullpen is a different breed. Like, I don't know what goes on there, because they got to just dick around for, like, at least five innings. And then they're just like, yeah, I got to make three outs, and then I'm done for the week.
Brandon Woodruff for the Brewers got a soccer kick for an out. It was a ground ball right back at him, and he just kicks it over to first, and it freaking nails the first base. It was on the money.
Ball back to the pitcher. I'm always just so excited to see what they do with them, because I'm like, you are a professional athlete, but boy, oh boy, do you not look it.
But most of them are like, they're like, surprisingly, like, you can find so many of, like, people just like freaking
the amount of times their glove is just magic, like their glove, like, they'll just be sitting with their glove like right here and it'll just fly into it. I'm like, the likelihood of that ball going right in your glove, like, zero.
One thing I've learned from pitching and getting shots right back at you, time slows down. You are going, you see it come at you, you will move your glove and be like, wait, the ball's not even there yet. Like, you move so insanely fast.
Yeah, it is true.
Think. And yeah, so he literally got a shot right back at his foot, and he just kicks it over, nails the first baseman. Don't understand how he does that. Amir Garrett probably has the best intro to a press conference ever.
Everybody's gonna say hi. Hello. First of all, I don't care about the walks. I got my first save, so haha.
Savage. That's so funny. So, I don't care about the walks. I got my first save, so haha.
So that happened. Again, Yankees have 13 home runs in the past two games. DJ's 48-mile-an-hour home run somehow.
He's a magician.
The MLB banning alcoholic celebrations.
Yeah.
So I guess everybody's going to Chuck E. Cheese after their game.
Interesting take. Is that like because of Corona?
I think it is. I think – I don't
– Do they
I
know that red, I don't Corona know. Is a respiratory
alcohol.
Virus and alcohol actually like can sometimes kill I'm not a doctor, so I don't know if that's true. But it was an interesting – Maybe they're, like, limiting how many people are allowed in the locker rooms at one time, so they can't – I don't know.
So they're going to Chuck E. Cheese after the game if they win. Yeah. And there are some big – I realize this. There are some big free agents coming this year, and some of them have some pretty surprising places. Right. Marcell Ozuna is predicted to go to the Blue Jays.
Why? Why is everybody going to the Blue Jays?
I don't know. Trevor Bauer apparently predicted to go to the Rockies.
He has said he will go anywhere. Like, and
I feel like if it's anywhere closer to the MLB, like,
if he could just like state, actually like, be Rob Manfred's neighbor, that'd be great. Yeah, he has said multiple times entering his free agency that he's like, I will go anywhere. I just want to play baseball. I don't care. And I think you can kind of see that throughout his career, like his Indians to Reds jump, like he was just like, bye, I don't care. Yeah. Like he art, like when he was leaving the Indians, he already knew he was leaving. So he's like, I'm gonna put this in center field.
Yeah. But he did, yeah, he didn't freaking care at all because he's just like, I'm pitching. Right? Yeah. I'm pitching. I don't care.
And he's putting up a good enough performance, obviously, being in the Cy Young.
One of the biggest free agent possible destinations, George Springer. They think he's going to
jail.
The Mets.
Everybody thinks that the Mets are going to like make this giant turnaround because Steve Cohen bought them. Like I saw something on Twitter and it was like a bunch of people photoshopped into Mets uniforms are like, because Steve Cohen now owns the Mets, Mike Trout to the Mets, Aaron Judge to the Mets, Babe Ruth to the Mets. It's just so funny. I think that honestly, everybody that was a part of the cheating Astros are going to leave Houston. I don't think any of them, I mean, like whenever they're able to, I don't think any of them are going to want to stay there. I think it's going to look bad for them.
Yeah. But
I also think that they should all never be allowed to play baseball again and be left for dead. Goodbye, Jose Altuve.
But the last thing I want to talk about is just Trevor Bauer.
I've got another one after you then.
Yeah, I follow him on Instagram and he posted this today. It's a picture of him pitching and it's off day, D-E-Y, for the Cincinnati Buds. Which means there's plenty of time for y'all to go watch my two new YouTube videos, slave of my stories, to watch and subscribe.
He's another person that I would just love to meet and understand what goes on in their brain.
Just
get what goes on.
He's like, all right, I understand. I am a professional baseball player. Go and like and subscribe to my.
But please go like and subscribe to my YouTube channel.
Yes.
Go ahead.
He was really like he has a whole video series of him in the desert. Have you seen those?
Yep.
Those are so funny. Those are so much fun to watch.
He's a really great personality, and I'm like kind of pissed that baseball hates him so much. Like the baseball like officials hate him so much, but I think that's what makes him even better.
Yeah. Just home run. No, Jose, that went 100 feet. Oh, home run, home run.
So I have two quick things around the league, and then we will get out of here because this one is a little bit long. We've really been pushing this hour mark lately. I'm very proud of us. The first thing is really quick. The Braves signed Pablo Sandoval. The panda. First of all. What? And he signed a minor league deal. I'm sorry, sir.
What minor league?
I think you should maybe possibly just retire. Pablo Sandoval reminds me of Big Sexy, who I love that he still comes up on my Bleacher Report. They're like, Big Sexy hits home run in slow pitch softball game.
Like, I think that's the one thing. Baseball is like everybody loves Big Sexy. You can't not love Big Sexy.
Yeah, it's just not possible. But I did think that was interesting. Like the Braves have such a good young team. Why are you signing Pablo Sandoval to a minor league deal?
Pablo Sandoval, I'm pretty sure he's a third baseman. At least I've seen.
If he needed to play defense, he would play one of the corners.
He's just like, all right, yeah, third baseman. Compare him to freaking Nolan Arenado.
it's real
change of times there.
Also, I wasn't going to bring this up. Did you see that Matt Chapman is having season-ending hip surgery?
I did not.
He's out for the rest of the year, which is kind of crazy.
I forgot it's the playoffs, so everybody makes the playoffs. I was going to say Ozzy A's.
They would have made it. They're doing very well.
Yeah, they're doing surprisingly well for being the A's.
We have a bit of a interesting relationship with the A's. member of our community. But the other thing that I wanted to touch on, I don't know if you saw it. I hope you saw it. Jacob DeGrom, quad injury. Does that, if he misses like two starts, does that almost secure the Cy Young for Trevor Bauer?
I feel that's very possible. I mean, I feel like it's a big thing. It's just like nobody believes in Jacob DeGrom anyways because they can't win a game.
Cy Young wise, he's always done very well.
He's always been on the talk,
especially
for Cy Young
this year. And they've talked about it this year that the thing that made Bauer and DeGrom stand out is they never missed a start due to injury or anything.
Yeah.
And
their ERAs are so low.
Yeah. And that if any of them got hurt, God forbid, that was going to be what kind of decided who got it. And yeah. I feel like this is coming not at a terrible time for DeGrom, because quad injuries and hamstring injuries, I feel like, can happen anytime. Like, you could hurt your hamstring jumping out of bed the wrong way.
It's taking him out of the Mets season as soon as possible.
Yeah, just get him off the Mets. But, you know, I am curious if that maybe locks up Cy Young for Mr. Bauer.
And I feel like I think, as long as he even does half of what he's been doing.
Exactly.
Got it.
I think that's something to look out for. Of course, if DeGrom doesn't miss any starts because of this injury, then it's still going to be a hot debate, and it's going to be super interesting to see who wins it. I think either way, it's going to be very interesting, honestly, to see who wins Cy Young, AL, NL, MVP. There is talk that Freddie Freeman is in the running to win his first league MVP. I love that man. I would be very happy if he does win that.
That would be something that – it's going to be like a Trevor Bauer. It's just the community is like, give it to him.
They're just
give
like,
it to him.
Everybody's happy. Everybody's happy if Freddie Freeman wins. But
I feel like even whoever he's going against would be like,
yeah, they're like
Freddie Freeman.
They're like, I don't even care. Give it to the man. I love him. I am either way very, very excited to see who wins what awards. Even though the American
All
League MVP should be DJ LeMahieu.
Awards are going to be very close. Like normally it's like, you know, Mike Trout for the AL, but Shane Beavers, he is killing it. Oh. He is killing it. And like, that's like, you don't see that a whole bunch of like, let's throw a pitcher for the MVP. Cause they're like, I think I'm going to Cy Young.
But
he's like, no. Screw Cy Young. He's going right for the freaking MVP.
It is going to be very, very interesting, but I don't have anything else for this week. Scotty, do you?
I'm just saying this. You brought up Freddie Freeman. Did you hear that he went, and when they were home for a game, he went to his son's, like,
Little League?
It's like a Little League practice.
I saw a picture of Freddie Freeman sitting in the bleachers and some dad coaching the team, and the tweet was like, imagine you're just trying to coach your son and you turn around and Freddie freaking Freeman is sitting in the bleachers.
he's just shaking his head.
So funny. But that is going to be it for this week. Hopefully when we come on next week, we can say that the Yankees have clinched their playoff spot. Knock on wood, you know, the good times keep on rolling. That's really what we're looking for here. If you would like to talk baseball between games, between episodes, my Twitter to reach me at is at Lex Semanchek, which is LexSemanchik. It is in the description of this podcast if you need it as well. Also, don't forget to like, subscribe, or follow us wherever you are listening to your podcasts. And Scotty, anything else? Anything to close us out?
I this is normally your stuff.
I know. I just want to know if you had anything to say.
No, I don't. I do not.
Thank you so much for listening. As always, this has been the Pinstripe Podcast. We'll see you next week. Bye.